I know people spend a lot of money on supplements, on dresses, on purses, on suits, on cars, on golf clubs, on all those things. And you know what? There's not anything wrong with any of that. Enjoy all those things. But if you're the type of person who says, oh, I've got a lot of money to go on this vacation where I'm basically just going to drink and eat every day, I'm not even going to experience the culture, or I'm going to, you know, save up for this car I can barely afford, but I can barely squeeze it in to my budget because it's really going to make me happier and people are going to respect me more, get off the goddamn hedonic treadmill. Nobody cares about your car. Nobody cares that much about you until you start to invest in yourself and start to grow and start to develop the confidence and the charisma that instead of trying to impress people, you naturally attract people. What's up, my friend, and welcome back to another episode of the Legendary Life Podcast. I'm your host, celebrity trainer and high-performance health coach, Ted Rice. This is a podcast for men and women who are looking to boost their energy and upgrade their health. So get ready to learn proven health, fitness, and mindset strategies to unlock your full potential. And today, we have something that's really going to help you a lot, a very important topic indeed. It's how to get unstuck so you can finally achieve the health and life you deserve. And we're going to go into so many things, why we get stuck, how we get stuck, and most importantly, how to get unstuck. Before I get to that, I just want to say, if this is your first time listening to the show, make sure you click that subscribe button so every time one of my episodes goes live, you'll be the first to know. And if you've been listening for a while, I want to ask you, have you given us a review on iTunes or Stitcher or wherever you listen to this podcast? Because that is the highest compliment that you can pay to this podcast. So if you've been benefiting from the information that I've been sharing with you, from the interviews, the amazing guests that I have on the show, make sure you show some love and leave a review. So let's get into it, folks. How to get unstuck so you can finally achieve that health and life you deserve. And the first question that should be on your mind is, why is it that some of us get stuck in life while others seem to have it all together? And doesn't it make you secretly feel frustrated and maybe even a little jealous when you watch others live out the dream that you have for yourself? It sucks, and it makes us feel like there's something wrong with us. We look at other people, maybe it's on Instagram or Facebook, and we see their great lives, and it just seems like they have it all together. And it kind of makes us feel like, well, maybe I'm just not destined for success. Maybe I'm just not cut out for a great life. Maybe I have bad luck. Maybe there's something wrong with my genes. Maybe I can't break the cycle of my dysfunctional family. But I'm here to tell you a secret. Those people who you think have it all together, they have the same amount of struggles and problems that you have. And in some cases, they have even more. And if that's true, and the number or the size of the problems that we face isn't the sticking point in our lives, then what is it? And that's what we're going to get into today. So how do we get stuck? And there's two big ways here. So the first way is your physical state. If you're not taking care of your body, then your brain isn't going to be working well. And if your brain isn't working well, then your mind isn't going to be working well. I mean, I've gone over so many details of how exercise, nutrition, sleep, stress management, all these things affect your performance, your mental performance, your mood. So if you're suffering from brain fog, sluggishness, if you wake up in the morning, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm so tired. I need 3 to 5 cups of coffee to get me going today. Or, and then later on at night, you're like, God, I'm so tired, but I'm wired now. So I can't fall asleep when I'm supposed to fall asleep. And you just run that cycle over and over. And you have that trouble falling asleep. Even if you're not having, you know, all the coffee, if you have that trouble falling asleep, or if you're suffering from low energy throughout the day, you're trying to get your work done, your brain's foggy, your mind is just cloudy, you don't have the energy to do your work, but you struggle through it anyway, and you know that you're not being that productive, but you just go through the motions day after day after day. Or maybe you have some aches, pains, and injuries. And I'll tell you, I was in a lot of pain. Actually, all these things that I've already mentioned, I've had the brain fog, the sluggishness. I've been tired in the morning and then wired at night and couldn't fall asleep. And, you know, I've had a lot of issues with sleep in my life. That's how I ended up learning so much about it. It wasn't that I thought it was a cool thing to talk about that would make me seem really smart and onto a really hot topic, sleep. It's because I have a vested interest in learning how to handle that area of my life. And I've been able to do a lot for that. And some of you are going to be suffering from aches, pains, and injuries. And the thing about that, I used to be in a lot of chronic pain, and it would make me moody. It would make me not able to concentrate because it's just like, oh, wow, I'm so achy. I'm in so much pain. A lot of that was from the way I was living my life and the way I was training jiu-jitsu, the way I was exercising. And I know that's probably the case for many of you listening right now. You're like, yeah, I got to work out because working out is really important. So I go in the gym and I lift heavier weights, or I go run hard. I do sprints. I do high intensity interval training. I go to martial arts, and you have these aches, pains, and injuries, and you know it's taking away from you, because when you have that radiating pain in the back of your mind, it's just, it's something that takes away from your focus. You can't focus as much. And some of you are getting colds and flus more than twice a year. I'll tell you, I got sick a lot when I was training jiu-jitsu hard. I really didn't know how to, I knew a lot about nutrition. I've taken, that was, you know, over 10 years ago when I got started with jiu-jitsu, and I knew a lot about nutrition at the time, but I didn't know what I needed to know. And I would get sick a lot, and it would suck, and I would have to skip days of work. And perhaps that's your situation. You're skipping days of work because you're sick, or you pop some DayQuil or NyQuil or whatever quill, and you try to get through it. But the reality is here is that your health sucks. I don't care if you're exercising. I don't care if you're eating clean or doing whatever. The results speak for themselves. And if you're suffering from this laundry list of issues, your health isn't good. Now, I don't want to say, well, you should go sit on the couch, but you need to change what you're doing. Exercise is good, but the right amount of exercise, the right exercises for the right person, because we can just add on. In the West, we really have this idea where we're all type A, right? At least the people who probably listen to this podcast, we're all type A. All my clients are type A. We think we got to push through things, drink coffee to get through the tiredness, push through it, push through the pain. And there is something to be said about that mental toughness, but eventually your body starts wearing down. And all these things that I just talked about happen. Another thing that happens that really sucks is your sex drive goes down the toilet. And this happens for men who don't get enough sleep and get too fat, and you know their body fat's high, 20% or above, and you're just going in the wrong direction. You're not getting enough exercise, so the blood flow to all the areas of your body, including that very important region, just it's not getting enough. And the same thing with women. You know, you're not interested in sex. You're not comfortable with your body. So even though that men or your husband or your boyfriend, they're really into you, but you're like, oh, I don't, you know, feel like doing it because I'm really insecure with the way I look right now. That's an issue. You've got to handle that, because I'll tell you, if you're in a relationship like that, the difference between a relationship and a friendship is whether you're having sex or not. Okay. That's really, really it. Because think about it. Once the sex starts, that's when you're in a relationship. You go from dating, the sex starts. Now that's when things get serious. That's when you're invested with each other, right? And obviously, there's plenty of people who are promiscuous and, you know, having all types of craziness. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the people who are in relationships and that type of thing. But also after you've been in a relationship and the sex starts to die off, that's an issue. It means that you're drifting apart. It's a huge issue. Okay. And a lot of people get left or get cheated on because of that. It's a huge issue. And the thing is, you have no, now someone might cheat on you or do something bad or leave you or whatever. And you point the finger and you say, wow, you shouldn't have done that. That was wrong. That was morally wrong. And you know what? You're right. They shouldn't have done that. But here's the thing. People aren't perfect. And you're the one who put that person in that situation. You put them in that situation. You put them in the dilemma. What do I do? I'm not having my needs met by this person I committed to, and I was having my needs met, but now it's changed. The dynamic of the relationship has changed. And that's a huge one. And our sex drive goes away for a lot of people as we get older and as we get more beat up and as we get more stressed and as we get less sleep. And I'm not talking about, you know, those little dips, like maybe you just had a kid or, you know, you have a couple of kids and you got some newborns running around and you're not getting a lot of sleep. I'm not talking about that, but I'm talking about over the years. I mean, everybody has some ups and downs, but ask yourself, you know, do you have that passion for your partner? Are you acting on that? When's the last time you had some mind-blowing sex, right? That's something that we should all expect. And I'll tell you, in other parts of the world, that's how it is. That's how it is. I've seen plenty of people here in Southeast Asia who are in their 50s, 60s, 70s, and they're fully functional. You can tell, and we've had those conversations with people. So let's move on and talk about stress management. So we've talked a bit about the physical state of your health, and that comes from either, you know, the wrong foods, too much food, not enough exercise, too much exercise, not getting enough sleep. But then we have this other thing, this stress management, which is really a huge pillar for us in the modern life, because stress is fine, but not in the chronic amounts that we have. So let's say, if you're like a lot of people, you're listening to this podcast in your car right now. Maybe you're stuck in traffic. Maybe you've got a 45-minute commute each way. Maybe it's even longer. And people are cutting you off and people are irritated on the road and nobody's got their act together, right? And then someone cuts you off and it pisses you off and then it just stays with you and you're like, ah, hating life. And I'll tell you, I've been in that in Miami Beach where just people are maniacs. I'm in Chiang Mai, Thailand right now, by the way, and people drive crazy in Thailand. It's just a thing they do. But I'll tell you something that's different than Miami Beach, where I was living for the past over two decades, really, is that the Thai people are cool about it. I mean, they're crazy, crazy drivers, but they're cool about it. They're not crazy about it. If they nearly hit you, they'll just smile and nod and, you know, kind of, they don't apologize exactly, but they just smile and they let you pass and, you know, you just smile back and it's just kind of the thing that happens here. But in Miami, it's an exchange. You go tell some, you start telling people all sorts of things. I was in a position where I hit someone's car a couple times because they nearly hit me because they were in a hurry. They were in a negative mood and they saw me coming and they were like, fuck it, I'm going to just go. And then I was like, oh yeah, well, fuck you. Bam, hit the car. And that's just a negative situation to be in. And that's because I wasn't managing my stress. And guess what happens when you don't manage your stress? Your blood pressure gets higher. You start having more anxiety. You have an overactive mind. You're in a constant state of worry. And I was suffering from some of that. In fact, if you remember, I went to the hospital because I thought I was having a heart attack at the beginning of 2017 even. And I really was doing a lot for myself, but I was in this situation where I was unhappy where I was living in, the place I was living in. I was not super happy with training my clients, even though I was making good money and I was working with these millionaires and I was, you know, it was not really that bad. I was going to these $20 million mansions, $10 million mansions, working people out in these private gyms. It wasn't exactly that terrible. But driving around, and I just wasn't passionate because these people were stuck in their life. And that's going to be something we'll talk a little bit more about in a few minutes, is that a lot of the people you think have it together are really stuck in their life. You see the million-dollar mansion and the supercar, or maybe it's a Rolls Royce Wraith or a Bentley, and you think, whoa, they just have an amazing life. They don't. There's a lot of wealthy, stuck people. Maybe you're listening right now, and you know exactly what I'm talking about because I'm talking about you. And we'll get into that more, but let's get back to this stress management thing. I'll tell you a quick story. I had an amazing experience here in Chiang Mai where Giselle and I, we love to travel to the Thai temples, the Thai Buddhist temples. And we were wandering around old Chiang Mai, which is, like it sounds, the older area of Chiang Mai. And there's just so many temples, and the temples are just beautiful. I've never seen anything like it, and so many of them. And we were walking into this one, and we saw that you can do like a one-day meditation retreat, and that's what we were there to inquire about. And we met this monk who was on a break, and we were inquiring about it. We were like, hey, we want to do that one-day meditation retreat. And he's like, oh, so you're interested in meditating? And we said, yeah. He's like, why don't we meditate right now? And we said, what? Because we weren't planning on that. But I looked at Giselle, and Giselle looked back at me, and we were both down for it. And we said, okay, sure, let's do it. And we had this amazing experience. What's funny is I was telling this story to someone, and he was like, oh, so he took you through a guided meditation? And I said, no, he really didn't do that much at all, but he gave us some, it was just his being in his presence and being in this Buddhist temple that is so peaceful. It's just beautiful. If you don't follow me on Facebook or Instagram, you really should, because I put up photos of these, and I'll try to make sure I send some out to the email. But if you're on Facebook or Instagram or on my email list, you'll be seeing some of that stuff. So after the meditation, which was just it's the best meditation I've ever had. And I had a little bit of coffee. I hardly ever drink coffee anymore, but I had a little bit. I had a few sips of Giselle's coffee. So I was a little bit wired because I knew we were going to be walking around for hours. And I like a little bit of coffee when that's the situation, because it just makes walking around for hours in the heat a bit easier, gives you the energy. But I wasn't in the mood for meditating. So I sat there for, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes, however long it was, because we didn't time it, or he didn't time it. And we had this amazing experience. And I was a little anxious, of course, because of the coffee. And just in general, it was just a few days after we had arrived at Chiang Mai. And after that experience, after that meditation, I just felt at peace. And then we had a conversation with the monk. And we started asking him, he started asking us, hey, where are you from? He spoke English well enough to exchange some ideas and to exchange some basic conversation. And when I told him I was from America, he said, Americans are very weak in the mind. And I already knew what he was talking about, but I asked him for some clarification. I'm like, why do you say that? And he said, too much monkey mind. You can't stop the thoughts. And so these thoughts, they run your life, and you can never be present in the moment. You can never show up 100%. Now, I'm kind of paraphrasing there because his English wasn't that good, but that's basically what he was saying. And it got me to thinking, so many of us will go into the gym, we'll lift weights, we'll do high intensity interval training, we'll run sprints, we'll work 100 hours a week, we'll get, you know, 4 hours of sleep, and we'll brag about it. And because we feel like badasses. We feel like, wow, I am really accomplished. Look at how hard I can push through. Look at how badass I am, right? We wear it like a badge of badassery. But the truth is that you're not badass at all. In fact, spending 5 minutes in complete silence trying to meditate is one of the most excruciating things that you could probably ever try. And I know you're listening right now and nodding your head. If you're this type of person, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And doing 10 minutes or 15 or 20 minutes of sitting there trying to control your thoughts, which is not really what you do with meditation. It sounds like a nightmare for a lot of people. And that is a sign that you have really poor stress management, where you have to always be on your email, always on your phone, always working towards something, exercising, lifting weights, running. You've always got to be active in doing something. And you think that's productivity. You think that's the right way to do things, but your blood pressure is high. You have too much anxiety. You have trouble sleeping. You have an overactive mind. You're in this constant state of worry. Guess what? You shouldn't be worrying about that much. The world could end tomorrow. Maybe, probably that's unlikely, right? But more likely is that you could die tomorrow. You could get hit by a car, and all those things that you were worried about that were interfering with you showing up in your life to your wife, to your husband, to your kids, to your job, to your career, to your purpose. We're all being affected because you were in this constant state of worry. And what's the real reason? Is it because the world is full of threats? It is full of threats, but that is not the real reason. The real reason is that you are mentally out of control. You have zero control over that ancient part of your brain, that part of your mind, that monkey mind, as the monk said. And that's an issue. That's a sign you really have to take action on this. So let's talk about something else now. So we talked about your physical state. We talked about lack of stress management. Let's talk about your mental state. So I'm not talking about the same thing here necessarily. We're going to be talking about less about like that emotional reactivity and more about like that cold conscious part of us. So your mental state. So a big thing that people complain about that I talk to all the time, a lot of my clients, paralysis by analysis, overthinking. You have 100 podcasts in your podcast player. You have 100 books on your bookshelf. You watch YouTube videos. You listen to books or read books, but you have no idea what to do because your mind is so full of different ideas, and you have no idea what to take action on and what's right for you and what the first step is. And that's a really common thing these days because we're inundated by messages. We're inundated by marketing, by hype, by good information too. And there's so much, and it doesn't even matter. Even if you're like me, I know how to stay away from the bullshit information. But even with the good information, I've got to figure out, okay, what do I spend my time on here? What is going to give me the results? But a lot of you don't get results, and you have all the books on your shelf, and you listen to all the podcasts, but you don't have a plan of action. You have no blueprint to bridge the gap from where you are now to where you want to be. And that's a huge issue. It's a huge issue. It also shows that you have no idea what you're doing in spite of all that knowledge. And there's some great lessons from the ancient Greeks as well as the ancient Chinese, where they basically believe that knowledge is not power. It's all about what you do. Real knowledge comes through experience. And yes, you can learn, but you have to experience, you have to practice. Okay. That's why the ancient Chinese, like Confucius, he had people practice these rituals. He had people dress a certain way. He had people practice archery. He had people practice musical instruments to develop a character, a different type of character, to calm themselves, to put them at peace between the part of our brain, which is called your hot cognition. That's the part that's constantly assessing threats, and that's the emotional part of your brain, in other words, and also that cold cognition. So that's the rational part of you. And of course, we all know that the hot cognition, as it's called, and psychologists and neuroscientists call it different things. Sometimes they call it system one and system two. Sometimes they call it bottom up or top down. I really like hot cognition versus cold cognition. So it really what they used to believe in, and we're going to talk about this a little bit more, is that you have to balance the two. You have to tame that wild beast of a mind of yours so that you're able to move effortlessly through the world with confidence, with charisma. And too many of us aren't doing that because we're overthinking and we're not taking action. Let's talk about something else. Let's talk about having a fixed mindset. And what I want to tell you right now is that there are no stuck people. You are not stuck, but there are stuck states. And while some people are less stuck than others and more resourceful than others, you can change that. You can become better. So what is a fixed mindset? What does that mean? And this comes from Carol Dweck's work. Well, fixed mindset people, they see challenges as problems to be avoided. And I see this and hear this all the time when I'm coaching with people, especially in my group coaching, which, by the way, is permanently closed. Sorry to throw that in like that, but people were constantly having these challenges. And it's like, of course, you're having challenges. There's always challenges when you're trying to accomplish something that you don't currently have aptitude with. And that's the same thing that happens when you were a kid and you learned how to walk. You fell down before you started to walk. You didn't get up and start walking and then, oh, this is so easy. And then when you rode a bike, you probably ride a bike effortlessly right now. But you completely forget all the times that you fell and skinned your knee and mommy or daddy or whoever picked you up and said, oh, come on, get back on the bike and try again. And you did this again when you learned how to drive. Do you remember how hard it was to put turn the key in the ignition and then keep your foot on the brake and then shift the gear to drive and then slowly start to drive around the track in driver's ed? I mean, it was super duper hard and you couldn't even do it unsupervised. You had to have someone with you so you didn't kill yourself or someone else in the process. But you learned it and you had challenges along the way, but you were kind of forced through them. In fact, you had a mentor or a coach or a teacher. And now you don't have someone like that. So every time a challenge comes up, you're like, oh my God, another challenge, another obstacle. And you believe somehow you forgot what it was like to be that kid who couldn't walk or couldn't ride a bike or couldn't throw a baseball or couldn't do whatever, couldn't do cheerleading, whatever it was. And now you believe you forgot about all the training and the mentoring and the coaching that went into helping you do those things. And now you just believe like you're just talented at something. And for some of you, maybe you are, and maybe you do have some raw talent. And you value that talent and it makes you feel special. And you value talent over effort. But the problem with that is as soon as you come up against something that you haven't figured out and it requires effort and you run into an obstacle, you feel like a loser. When instead you just feel like, oh, this is something I'm not quite good at and I need to get better at it. And someone gives you some critical feedback. And you're like, oh, I'm going to ignore that. Like, you know, he doesn't know what I'm talking about or he knows what he's talking about. Or what an asshole to tell me that. When in fact, that's exactly what you need. You need some constructive but critical feedback. And every time you quote unquote fail, you get dejected, you get depressed, you get frustrated and you want to give up. And then when others succeed around you, especially at the things that you're not good at, you have this little insecure part of you that's threatened. And instead of being happy for them, like, oh, great, that's awesome that you achieved that. And by the way, I used to have this mindset. I used to be super jealous of other people. Not anymore. I mean, I had to learn that. I was working with millionaires. I would go show up to these houses and they'd have just incredible amounts of, they'd have a yacht in the backyard on their house on the water. They'd be in this mansion. They'd have a car collection sitting out in the driveway. And you could look around and be like, oh, what a bunch of assholes. You know, don't they know that there are starving kids and, you know, all this injustice in the world, and all they're doing is, you know, buying more stuff. And we'll talk about that in a minute, because I do think while you shouldn't be judging those people because they're just messed up people like you, except with more money, but you shouldn't be threatened by it. In fact, if you wanted them to do something different, this is what I learned. You've got to be appreciative. Like, hey, I just closed the deal with Twitter and I just sold a company. One of my clients sold a company to Twitter. And I was like, hey, man, that's amazing. That's awesome. And for him, he made a, you know, millions off the deal, but the money wasn't that. He makes more money doing less interesting things. It was the accomplishment. And I was sincerely happy for him. But it took me a long time to get that way. I had that fixed mindset. So ask yourself, are you looking at things with that fixed mindset? So let's talk about something really deep now, in case this hasn't been deep enough for you. You are stuck because you're investing in the wrong things. In other words, you're walking on what's called the hedonic treadmill. And I hope you've heard of this before. I've talked about it here and there, but let me explain it like this. Have you ever bought some new clothes, a new car, a new iPhone? And you were super excited at first. You were driving that car around. You were showing your friends the new iPhone 10 or whatever it was. But after a week went by, it was like, yeah, okay, it's still cool, but you know, it's my phone now. And then a month goes by and then you're like, yeah, okay, that happiness is, you know, it's just the phone that I use every day. It's not that big of a deal anymore. And then several months go by and the clothes that you bought that you were so excited about, or that car that you felt so good when you were driving around in, the happiness is gone and you've adapted to it. In fact, it's just your normal life. And I'll tell you, this happens from at all different levels. If you're driving around a brand new Honda Civic, or whether you're driving around a custom built Ferrari, like one of my clients, it just, you get used to it. You get used to it. So what's going on there? What's going on there? What's happening? Why does that happen? And what I want to tell you, this issue, which I know you know exactly what I'm talking about, I know you felt that, it's not new. In fact, it's been going on for thousands of years. In fact, I'm doing this course on ancient Chinese philosophy. And in the Tao Te Ching, which I'm probably saying wrong, which was written by Lao Tzu, is probably what you've read if you're into Chinese philosophers at all, is apparently the name is pronounced Lao Tzu. But he talked about the desires of the eye versus the desires of the belly. So while that may sound a bit cryptic, let me decipher it for you. So the desires of the belly are the things that human beings seem to need, and they're easily satiable. You need food because you'll starve to death. You need shelter to protect you from the elements. You need, family is very important. We're all concerned with having a family, whether it's spending time with our family or making a family, community, purpose. Those are all easily satiable things. But then there's the desires of the eye. And if that sounds a bit weird, you're going to know exactly what I'm talking about. So we're talking about the desires that are created by society. For example, maybe you want a new car. Maybe there's a car that you really want. Maybe you're looking at a condo with a great view of downtown. Maybe you're interested in, I don't know, a $15,000 handbag, or you know, like a Chanel handbag or Hermes handbag or whatever. Maybe you want a $20,000 Hublot watch. Maybe it's not quite one of those luxury goods, but what I'm getting at here is that none of those things ever existed before. They're all created by society. And the issue there is there's always going to be a more expensive, better watch. You can buy a Richard Mille watch, which I'm probably saying the name wrong, and that's a $100,000 watch. You know, you can buy a Ferrari or you can buy a custom Ferrari. You can buy a Honda Civic, or you can buy the one that there's always something else to buy. And it doesn't matter. I'm using luxury goods because I don't know, they're kind of fun to talk about, but it doesn't matter where you are. You're always looking at, well, I'm in a, you know, one bedroom apartment. I could have a two bedroom apartment. I could have a bigger one bedroom apartment. I could have an apartment that's in a higher story with a better view. And they're just infinite. In fact, I was talking to, now this was many years ago, I was talking to one of my clients, a real estate developer, and I was asking him, I'm like, what's the difference between having $50 million and $100 million? Like, what is it? What is the desire there? And what he said was, well, you know, you can buy a painting for $100,000, or you can buy a painting for $1 million, or you can buy a painting for $10 million. You can buy a boat, a yacht that's 75 feet long. You can buy a yacht that's 100 feet long. You can buy a yacht that's 150 feet long. There's just always something else to buy. And what's important here is that these things can actually harm us. The desires of the eye, these society-created desires, right? For example, donut burgers, right? Let's put a burger. Donuts are great. Burgers are great, but let's put a burger in a donut, right? Or like I said, bigger homes, more expensive cars. So basically what we're talking about is like what Madison Avenue creates. And that's where all the ads, all the ad people. And it's this thing where we always have to have the latest shiny object, the latest technology. And it's being driven by culture and corporations in particular. They want to sell you new products and they don't want you to be happy with the product you have. Apple doesn't want you to be that happy with the iPhone 8. They want you to have the or 7 or whatever. They want you to have the new iPhone, right? Otherwise, they don't make money if you were just happy with the old iPhone, even though it's a perfectly good iPhone. And then they change the software around and all the other things. So you have to like upgrade because your phone won't even work anymore. And not only is it society created, but it just seems to be a feature of human life. We're always chasing the latest fashion, and it's not a new phenomenon, okay? And it seems that it's actually built into human psychology. And they've done a lot of work. Psychologists have done a lot of work and research into what's called this hedonic treadmill. So the fact that pleasure, right? Because hedonic, the word hedonic refers to pleasure, that they're always inherently fleeting for human beings. In fact, they've done some research showing that people who win the lottery, so someone who goes from, you know, an average income, because that's usually who plays the lottery, right? Maybe low income, average income, maybe, you know, six-figure income, but then they go to millions of dollars and they have this immediate bump in happiness right after they win the lottery. They're like, I'm rich. But if you follow them over time, they seem to kind of revert back to the baseline level of happiness that they started out with, because it just becomes the norm. So something as dramatic as winning the lottery doesn't seem to really change your baseline level of happiness. And what's really interesting is the same was found to be true of negative events. So they looked at people who were in accidents and became paraplegics, and the same thing happened. They hated life immediately after the accident. But after time, it seemed to level out and they returned to the same baseline level of happiness. And that's this psychological phenomenon of adaptation, and it just sort of happens. But here's the thing, it doesn't have to be that way, right? You don't have to be on that hedonic treadmill. And the thing is, when we're investing in those superficial desires of the eye, as the ancient Chinese like to put it, we get that hit of happiness, or we eat the donut burger, even though we know, hey, this is going to make me fatter and unhealthier, and I really shouldn't have the donut burger because I just had donuts yesterday or a piece of pie yesterday. I should really control this, but you're like, oh man, donut burger, you just can't resist, and you eat it, and it sets you backward. And like I said, these things can have damaging effects on you, but it's because you're investing in things that we already know they don't give us pleasure. They don't, well, they give us fleeting pleasure, momentary pleasure. and then it's gone. And then we feel like, oh man, I'm back to that life again. Or even drugs are like that. The problem with drugs is that you get high, or drinking alcohol, is you get drunk and then you sober up. That's why people have to do it again, because they're chasing that experience. They're chasing something that is fleeting. And we're going to talk right now about how to get unstuck. Okay, because if you're on that hedonic treadmill, if you've got that fixed mindset, if you have poor health, if you managing your stress poorly, or you got overactive mental state, there are ways that you can do something about it. And the first thing is, you got to make a decision to do something different. You've got to make a decision. The moment I decided that I must change my life and end the pain and suffering, I started taking action. And that's the first thing. You've got to really go there with yourself, because when you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, that's when you'll take action. And that's when I took action in my life. I felt stuck in Miami Beach. People would come and visit me and be like, man, you are amazing. You have the most amazing life. You're training these millionaires. You're hanging out in, I would put selfies up of me in these amazing mansions, or I would ride around in my client's Ferrari and I'd put up a little video about it. And people thought I was having a great time. And I did it just to prove, I knew I wasn't having a great time, but I did it just to prove that, hey, yeah, I do work with these people and that is what my life is like. That's not a lie, but I was lying in a way where I was pretending to be happy about it. And I wanted to explore the world in new cultures. I wanted to also, you know, feel free for the first time. With personal training, I had to be there for them all the time, and I had to be there in person. And also, I was worried about my age and my accomplishments. I wanted to do something bigger than just handhold rich people through their workouts. And I have nothing against wealthy people. I you know, all my clients right now are very accomplished. But what I meant was the people who I was working with, the vast majority of them, they were stuck in their life. So we were just a bunch of stuck people in our lives, even though they had millions of more dollars, many millions of more dollars than me. And I was in my business. I wanted to do something more, and that's why I started Legendary Life. And as I started to do things, I've even made a huge shift recently. I transformed my business 2 months ago when I hired a coach. Now I'm serving the people that I want to work with, who are committed, coachable, and ready to take action. Okay, I don't want to work with the people who are like, hey, well, what about intermittent fasting? Or what about keto? I hear keto is really good. I'm not going to go back and forth with you. I want people who are coachable and ready to do the work. I don't want to discuss anything with you. You need to pay me for that, okay? All these people, and I'm referring specifically not to you or anyone else who listens to this podcast, but some of the people on social media who ask for advice, and I know they don't never do anything with it, right? I ask them, hey, did you implement that? Because I've asked. They don't do anything. So anyway, you know, I want to work with those people, the committed, coachable, and ready to take action people. We're tired of trying diets and workouts, tired of not getting results, who are done making excuses, and you know, they're financially successful, but they realize that having a coach in their corner is the key to getting over the plateau or getting unstuck. The next thing I want to talk about is getting clarity. And this has to do with the overthinking. Last episode, I talked about redeclaring your goals, redeclaring your why. But what I want to tell you here is you got to get clear about how this problem is really affecting your life and be specific about it. And how is this problem affecting your life now? What areas of your life are being affected by it? Your finances, your relationship, your health, whatever it is. And get clear on how this problem is going to affect your life in 5 years. How is it going to affect your life in 10 years? You need to get clear on that, because too many of us, we think we're in this endless loop. Although we recognize that we're getting older every year, we mostly run the same year over and over and over. We make the same stupid New Year's resolutions, and we make the same thing. We do the same thing over and over until we get a wake-up call. Maybe a parent dies. Maybe you, maybe you had a parent who like, oh, I'm going to make this money so I can take my father or my mother or both of your parents, hopefully, if they're still together. My parents have been divorced for a long time, but so maybe you wanted to take them on a trip somewhere that they had always dreamed of going, but never had the time or the money to go. And you want to do that. And they're getting older. And if you don't do it now, they're going to die. And once they're dead, you're never going to go back. You're never going to have another opportunity. So get really clear and go there and get deep with yourself, especially if you're a guy. Women tend to be much better about going deep with this. But ladies, you still need to do the exercise. And guys, you got to drop the false machismo bullshit, right? Feelings, we all have feelings. Doesn't matter if you beat them deep down inside of you or you're like me. I kind of, you know, I'm more comfortable with my feelings. Luckily, I grew up with a father who didn't say I was not a man if I cried or anything like that. Maybe that's your thing though, but you've got to overcome that and get really clear on how your life is going to change. You got to get that clarity. And you've got to cultivate that growth mindset. You got to start to see things as opportunities instead of obstacles. You got to realize it's about the effort, not the talent. It's not about your natural God-given gifts or blessed by the universe or great genes or whatever you believe about yourself. It's about figuring out what to do, then taking action on it consistently and not giving up. That's the other key. And also, you got to stop investing in things and invest yourself. Get off the goddamn hedonic treadmill. I can't stand it. Let me tell you, I can't stand it when people tell me, I know people spend a lot of money on supplements, on dresses, on purses, on suits, on cars, on golf clubs, on all those things. And you know what? There's not anything wrong with any of that. Enjoy all those things. But if you're the type of person who says, oh, I've got a lot of money to go on this vacation where I'm basically just going to drink and eat every day. I'm not even going to experience the culture, or I'm going to, you know, save up for this really, for this car I can barely afford, but I can barely squeeze it in to my budget because it's really going to make me happier and people are going to respect me more. Get off the goddamn hedonic treadmill. Nobody cares about your car. Nobody cares that much about you until you start to invest in yourself and start to grow and start to develop the confidence and the charisma that instead of trying to impress people, you naturally attract people. But that doesn't happen on its own. And most likely, your parents didn't teach you how that worked. And if they did, congratulations. Mine certainly didn't. And you got to start investing in experiences that cause true growth, that involves learning and challenge and obstacles and pushing yourself. And what should you invest in? Well, that depends on where you're having trouble. I mean, for some people, you should, if you're not feeling powerful, maybe investing in some boxing lessons or jiu-jitsu or Muay Thai lessons. If you feel like you're having problems with communication, then invest in some public speaking or some comedy improv. You've got to diagnose yourself. And let me tell you, if you're in this situation where you feel stuck, the fastest way to break through a plateau or to get unstuck is to hire the right coach. In fact, look back at your life right now. Just think for a second. Even if you're driving, be careful. And if you've got a heavy weight, maybe wait until you rack it. But ask yourself this question. Wasn't it when you had a good coach or mentor or teacher in your life that you experienced the most accelerated growth? Isn't that when you had the biggest breakthrough? Just like, well, maybe not, you won't remember when you first walked, but what about who helped you to ride the bike? Who helped you to drive the car? Was it mom or dad who took you, you know, and drove you around the neighborhood and helped you get a hold on it or taught you a sport? Did you have a coach in sport or maybe cheerleading, or maybe it was science, maybe it was math, a math tutor, a math teacher, a teacher in college? You had someone who helped you break through, but now you're out of college, you've been out for a while, and maybe you haven't had a coach in a while, or maybe you have had one, but they weren't that good. But that's no excuse. And if your situation is when you had these breakthroughs, when you had a coach in your life, then why don't you have one today? Because let me tell you something, you'll be hard pressed to find a top athlete, an Olympian, or a top CEO who doesn't have a skilled expert in their life who finds and fills in their missing structures, who has conversations with them that they don't want to have and makes them do things they don't want to do so they ultimately can become something they didn't even believe they could become. And if you're feeling like you're in that situation right now and you're feeling stuck, you're feeling like you're in a rut or a plateau, and you're committed to doing something about it, then I want to invite you to hop on a call with me. You can do this by going to legendarylifepodcast.com/talk. You can set up a call with me. And I just want to be clear about this. The truth is, I want every single one of you listening, I want you to win. I want you to have the type of amazing life that is possible for you. But to do that, you've got to get out of your own way. You've got to get unstuck. You've got to get clear on what really matters. And you need a blueprint, a plan of action. You can't let this overthinking stop you. You can't let it paralyze you from taking action, the action that you need to take. And you've got to understand the consequences. Life is not long. It's short. It's going by. Let me ask you, how fast did 2018 go for you? Lightning fast. It seems to speed up as we get older. You don't have as much time as you think, especially if you're in your 30s or 40s or 50s. Wow, if I could only go back 10 years ago and do what I'm doing now, I wish I could. Not going to happen. And it's not going to happen for you either. But what we can do is we can take action now. The past doesn't matter anymore. It's just a memory. It's just little interactions between the neurons in our brain. But right now exists, and you have the opportunity to do something about it. I want you to be celebrating year after year because you're playing the game at the highest level. Whatever that game is for you, however you want to show up in the world, whatever you want to accomplish in life, I want you to play it at the highest level. But to do that, again, you've got to make some changes. And again, if you're ready to stop playing small, and if you're ready to start living your purpose and living your passion and really making a difference in your life, and again, celebrating year after year because of how much you grow and how much you've accomplished and how you're stepping up in your life and helping all those other people who depend on you because they're hurting right now and you are not stepping up. You're not doing what you need to. And if you're ready to start stepping up, if you're ready to stop playing small, then I want to invite you to a conversation with me. We'll hop on the phone and we'll speak for about 45 minutes to an hour. We'll go over where you're at now, what's not working, where you want to be, and come up with a game plan. And if I believe that I can truly help you, and I really sincerely mean this, if I can help you, I will let you know. And conversely, if I don't believe I'm the right person for you, I'm cool with that. I'm here to serve. I'm here to work with people who I can get amazing results for. And if you're not that person, I'm cool with telling you, hey, I don't think you're the right person, or I'm the right person for you. And I'm even happy to refer you to someone else. I'm happy to do that because, again, I want you to succeed. I want you to play the game at the highest level. I want you to have that type of life that is possible for you. And if I'm the one to make that happen, like I said, I'm going to let you know. Right now, I guarantee you that you are not stepping up in one of the areas. Maybe it's your mindset, maybe it's your health, maybe it's your stress management, maybe it's your goals, maybe your goal isn't big enough, maybe you have unrealistic expectations, but whatever it is, you're going to walk away from this conversation, regardless of whether we work together or not, being crystal clear on what you need to do. And we're going to challenge a lot of those fundamental assumptions that you have about where you're stuck and the truth about what's holding you back. So if that sounds like something you're interested in, again, go to legendarylifepodcast.com/talk and sign up for a call now. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope you're enjoying this deeper dive into the reasons that we're stuck in life and why we're not taking the action in our life, because that's what has me fired up right now. I've realized that talking about the 7 ways to build more muscle or the 5 ways that vitamin C helps you reduce inflammation, it's not serving you. It's not helping you. People are stuck in their mindsets. They're stuck because they're not taking action. They are overwhelmed. They have these assumptions. Perhaps they have their mind full of all the hype that people have out there, that people market to them. And if you're confused about all that stuff, you're going to get super clear. So if that sounds good, again, book a call. I've already said the place, so I know you know where to go. I hope you enjoyed this episode. I hope you like this direction I'm going in. Have an amazing week, and I'll speak to you soon.